Keep yourself in the loop of everything football on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. The latest news on and off the field, be it college football, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC to the NFL. We've got you covered. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
GSMC Football Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Jeff Melanoff. Since Mark Sousa is gone for good, it's just going to be me for the time being. Hope you all are going to stick with me on this one. As we head into this offseason, next month is the beginning of all this good offseason free agency trades and all that good JAMA stuff. JAMA stuff. Yep, that's a word. No, it's not. But anyways, moving on. What we have to talk about the NFL is, Art Rooney talking about auditing the Rooney Rule, if you will. Well, it is called the Rooney Rule, so we'll see how that turns out. Also, Haskins being in the throwing the football at the combine, what does that mean for his future stock? Does it affect it? Does it hurt it? Does it make it better? Who knows? And as well, we will talk about all the teams' off-seasons to-do list. What changes need to be made, what needs to happen, what needs to get better, and how can they get over the hump of a possible, like, miss of the playoffs? Can they afford missing the playoffs? So on and so forth. Because it all comes down to, basically, next season is Super Bowl 54, and everyone wants to be there, obviously. So we'll see how that goes. But first things first, we got to talk about the Art Rooney situation here, because Art Rooney is trying to audit this Art Rooney Rule, or just the Rooney Rule, if you will. For those who do not know the Rooney Rule requires at least one woman and one underrepresented minority to be considered in the slate of candidates for either every open position or every open senior position. The details vary from company to company. So what Art Rooney is trying... Sorry, this doesn't really sound good overall when you want to get that rule removed, to be completely honest with you. But this is his quote. Art Rooney II's quote, based off this rule. And to get it removed. We have a judge. We have to judge our progress on the results. It's like looking at your team. You are what your record says you are. I'm not going to sit here and accuse anyone of racism, but the facts are what they are. We have to look at the opportunities that were given to minorities this latest round and see what they can be done about it. I don't really know what he's trying to prove here. Like, the rule states... It's just from what I've read and from what I've gotten from this is you just need to at least consider them as a candidate, not to give them the job. I'll read it again. At least one woman and one unrepresented minority to be considered in the slate of candidates for either every open position or every open senior position. So... they're not saying you have to have a minority or a woman in those positions. They're just saying you have to basically have one in consideration. That's not that big of a deal to get really removed. Like, to have a judge look at this and get it try to remove from the rule book, if you will. Because the fact of the matter is, it's not a fact of, oh, he's black or she's a woman, she has to get this job because you have to have at least one woman in this position. That's not what they're saying. They're saying you have to at least consider one. So I don't think it's that big of a deal to have that rule, because it just gives everyone a fair opportunity in theory, because there might be some racist vibes and as such if you're not looking at one. I understand the situation from it. So I don't really see the big deal in the rule. If it said you had to add one, like had to add a minority or a woman into a position, then that's almost being like, not stubborn, but ignorant to the ignorant to racism, if you will. It's like, oh, you don't have any minority or minority executives or anything of such like that. That means you're racist. I don't think that's really what the problem is in this situation. I don't really know why it's such a big deal. You can't just consider one. It seems like a rule that is just, it's just simple. It's a very simple rule. So I don't know what Art Rooney just made himself look bad, to be honest. He's coming off not very good in this situation, in my opinion. He's coming off a bit. I don't want to accuse anyone of anything, but it's coming off pretty bad how he's describing it, at least, in my opinion. Like, you can keep this rule and just nothing would change, honestly. Like, and plus, the Steelers have a minority coach in Mike Tomlin. One of four, at least. There's Flores. There's San Diego again. It's hard not to say San Diego. It's been like 2 years, I get that, but it's still hard. There's Anthony Lynn, and then there's Ron Rivera. They're all minorities when it comes to coaching in the NFL. So This rule was adopted in 2003 mainly because of the fact that Tony Dungy and Dennis Green were both fired at that time. Tony Dungy was leading a very great and talented Tampa Bay Buccaneers team before then, before he was fired. I mean, like the next season afterwards, they would win the Super Bowl. So it's not like he was doing a terrible job to get fired. And then Dennis Green had one losing season in around 10 years with the Minnesota Vikings, and he got fired. So there was obviously some suspicion involved in these circumstances, so they made the rule. But overall, reading the rule over again, it just seems like it's not that big of a deal to me, at least. Could be a big deal to them, but I don't see the problem. I don't see a nuisance in this rule. So I don't think it should be changed, but you can think differently. I'm not saying there's a right or wrong answer in this scenario, but it seems to me that maybe because it's called the Rooney Rule, he wants it removed, in theory. This is all hypothetical guessing. But I don't know how to go on from that. It seems interesting, to say the least, what he's truly thinking and truly understanding throughout this entire process. And overall, like, the Steelers have enough going on as it is. I mean, I don't know what to really think of this, to be completely honest with you. But regardless, that's what's going on in the more in the Steelers camp. I thought we'd be talking enough about the Steelers, but hey, we aren't even close to finish talking about the Steelers, because there's still so much going on. Once the offseason hits and Antonio Brown is like, there's trade talks with Antonio Brown, because that seems to be a foregone conclusion that's going to happen. And, of course, Le'Veon Bell is not going to be a Steeler. I think that is also a foregone conclusion. Like, Le'Veon Bell even tweeted, free at last, think almighty, we are free at last. Which, I mean, quoting Martin Luther King Jr., I mean, I get that. I get what he's trying to get on from this. But I don't think it's the same kind of impact. But whatever. I think it was mainly a joke rather than anything else. Moving on from that, we go to another football story, obviously, because it's the football podcast. What am I saying? But it's a different football than you think, because, of course, the Alliance of American Football is really taking shape. And, of course, the XFL, which is coming in 2020, is going to be a big factor in the media that is football, of course. So those are really taking up the news stories. Then, of course, the NFL. There's a certain owner in a certain football league that says, maybe you're forgetting somebody. And that person is Dan Nolan. And if you don't know Dan Nolan, I don't really blame you, because he's the owner of the Albany Empire. Cool name, right? But what team is that? What full league is that? That is the Arena Football League. Yes, do you remember them? The Arena Football League had the Kurt Warner Iowa Barnstormers. They had all these teams, and it was the big thing in the early 2000s and 90s, where it was a 50-yard field, and there was hundreds of points and all that good stuff happening when it came down to it. And what Dan Nolan is saying of the Albany Empire, Albany Empire is brand new, by the way. They started in the Arena Football League in 2017. They're brand new. And I was looking up the Arena Football League. I was like, oh, yeah, I haven't heard about them in a while. Let me see what's up with them. They had roughly 17 teams last time I checked. That was like in the mid-2000s, roughly like 2009. I think they had like 17, 18 teams. So they were relatively large in theory. Then I looked at them last season. The Arena Football League has 4 teams. That's it. One is suspending operations. That's the Cleveland team. And because I think they're obviously – oh, no. The Quicken Loans Arena is doing some remodeling, and they're not allowed to have – they're suspending operations until that's done. So that's this year and next year. So the Cleveland team's basically non-existent at the moment. And then you're also looking at, again, 4 teams. There's 2 more teams coming into the Arena Football League next season, from my knowledge. One of those teams is in Atlantic City. It's just the Atlantic City, New Jersey football team at the moment. It's the Arena Football team. They don't even have a name yet. And then there's also the Columbus team that's coming in. So we have an Ohio team and an Atlantic. I'm sorry. I don't think Atlantic City is a football city at all. And the place they're playing in was open in 1929. So, my God, that's old. And looking overall at, so they're going to have 6 teams next season. But let me tell you about how this season ended. So 4 teams, right? So you can't really have just a playoff. Well, they did have playoffs. Every single team made it into the playoffs because there's only 4 teams. But of those 4 teams, there was the first place Albany Empire at 8 wins and 4 losses. Last place team was the Washington Valor. And that team was in the playoffs at 2 wins and 10 losses. They obviously played the worst place team plays the best place team. They had that kind of seeding going. So the Washington played Albany. And you expect it to be some sort of blowout. Washington beat Albany. The 2-win team went into the Arena Bowl, which is their Super Bowl. They scored over 100 points. I believe it was 103-97 was the final score of an Arena Football League playoff game. Not a whole lot of offense. A lot different than the 13-3 Super Bowl we saw. And the team that also went to the Arena Bowl, which was Arena Bowl 31 this year, was the Baltimore Brigade, who also scored over 100 points. So the Arena Bowl, I believe it's Arena Bowl 31, was the 2-win Washington Valor versus the second-place Baltimore Brigade. And you would think Baltimore would win this game and win the Arena Bowl because Washington shouldn't really be there because they have 2 wins on the season, basically like the Cardinals being in the Super Bowl this year. That's basically what just happened. And Washington won the Arena Bowl. I'll say that again. The 2-win, 10-loss Arena Football League team won the championship. They had a playoff appearance because there's literally no one else to get in the playoffs. 4 teams. I thought they would just do one big Arena Bowl game, but apparently playoffs needed to happen with 4 teams in a league. It's like a rec league. It was basically a rec league. And It was ridiculous. I hope that there's never a 2-10 win team or two wins, 10 loss team to ever make it back to a championship game. And with 6-seeded teams, hopefully they keep a 4-seeded playoff and that doesn't happen again. But as of right now, the current reigning Arena Bowl world champions in the Arena Football League are a 2-win team in the Washington Valor. Let that one sink in for a second. And the Albany Empire owner, one of the owners, there's like a couple shareholders, Dan Nolan, says that this team, there's going to get a lot more teams in the next coming years, up to like 12, I think he said. They're adding more and more teams as it's progressing. So they're adding 2 more teams this year. They're probably going to add another couple more teams the year after that. But when you're telling people to watch your product and your product is way below average, I know you're getting a lot of points and stuff, but when a 2-win team wins your championship, that's not a lot of credibility. That's how I see it, at least. And with all that going on, you got to look at the facts that the Arena Football League just needs more teams, and they're not going to get, but with more teams, you're not going to get all the talent in the world because you're now, let's see, there's the Alliance of American Football League now, which is where mainly the players are going to go. You got the Canadian Football League, which is basically the NFL's developmental league before the Alliance of American Football came into place. And you have the new XFL coming in 2020 with their new rule sets and new ways of drafting and pay and all that kind of thing. So there's going to be players interested in going to the XFL in 2020. So why on earth would anyone want to join the Arena Football League of a six team league now, going into next season, and teams folding left and right? Like last year, in Arena Bowl 30, the Tampa Bay Storm were in the Arena Bowl. They had ceased operations after that. They've been around since 1987. They were the oldest franchise in the Arena Football League. They had to close its doors. That's where the Arena Football League is going. That's where just Arena Football in general is going. Just teams folding, not having enough money, not having enough revenue. Especially when it's an arena, you can only get like 8,000 people fit into an arena in these games. That's like maybe that's not their total capacity, but that's who they're getting. So that's how all that's going down. And then overall, you're looking just Arena Football League's product, just it's talent is nowhere near even the Alliance of American Football. That's just how I see it. That's my opinion. But we are going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will be talking more about the NFL draft coming up. We'll talk more NFL news, as well as Dwayne Haskins and his combine, roles in the combine. And we'll be right on that when we return.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back, and we have some breaking news as of right now. At 8:57 a.m. today, on February 22nd, Jupiter Police says New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft, you may know him, is being charged with soliciting a prostitute. Why does this happen more often than not? I swear, this is multiple times I've seen this happen in just professional sports in general, players and ownership alike, and coaches even. Maybe not coaches, but ownership mainly, and just like, well, that's, first of all, gross to think about. Not going to lie. But how this is all going down. This is in Jupiter, Florida, by the way. And there is video evidence of all people being charged in this, like, there's men being charged for this prostitution ring, apparently, soliciting one. And, of course, Robert Kraft is on that list. And it's interesting, to say the least. And he, if I'm looking at this right, there's this. I'm looking at the list here of the men being charged for soliciting a prostitute, and this, like, this whole list of, I believe, by Jupiter Police. He is the second oldest one. I just threw my mouth a little bit. Most of these men. So if I'll just let you guys do the math on your own, because I don't want to say their ages. Obviously, Robert Kraft was born in 1941, so it makes him pretty old. Makes him about 77 years old, and he's not the oldest one. There is multiple men in this little. I'm not gonna say their names just because they're not notable. But just they have their date of birth on the opposite side of their name, so I can see it here. There's guys in the that were born in the 40s. The 50s, and get this, the 30s. The oldest man on here was born in 1934. And that's right, that means he is 84 years old. Oh, God. But like I said, Robert Kraft is being charged in Jupiter, Florida. First of all, odd name for a city. I never even heard of Jupiter, Florida. It might be one of those big city, middle of the city type areas. For soliciting a prostitute. And this is after, of course, his sixth Super Bowl. The team is. The police will not identify when or what services Kraft paid for. And God help me, I do not want to know. They say more details will be included as part of the probable cause related to the investigation. So... this is all being broken by Ali Schmitz, at Schmitz Media, if you want to look it up on Twitter. And police say there are two incidents of Kraft going to Orchards of Asia in Jupiter. I'm assuming two incidents in meaning this is regarding a prostitute. So definitely, interesting. And if you really want to see some entertaining stuff, look on Ali Schmutz's Twitter and look at the replies and look at the GIFs and people's responses, because, oh, they're actually pretty entertaining, all things considered. There's a SpongeBob one I see. There's, the Chris Pratt one from Parks and Rec and his, like, oh face. There's some good. Someone also tweeted in replying to this. So this is how the end of the dynasty begins, and it's a gif of Michael Scott from The Office going, "Oh my God, it's happening! Stay calm." It's during the fire drill. So overall, thank you, Robert Kraft, for the news. Gives me something more to talk about on this show because the off season's kind of hitting that lull, and we're not there yet at the high points. But oh man, good stuff. So Robert Kraft, even the greats have their downfalls, and this does not look good for the old man that is Robert Kraft. I just don't see the reason behind the man with billions and billions of dollars to do this. But, you know, I'm not here to judge. I'm supposed to be unbiased. Get judged just a little bit, though. Just a little bit in my head. I think that's okay. But, yes. And, of course, he's not the only one in the history of football that's been known for soliciting or being charged for soliciting a prostitute. Warren Sapp has also been charged for soliciting a prostitute. That was a big one. I believe there was also a player on the Falcons in Super Bowl in the Super Bowl against the Broncos who did not get to play in that Super Bowl because the day before he solicited a prostitute. And that man was a safety, Eugene Robinson. And that was the night before, too. So this, and the woman he solicited was an undercover cop, so kind of got caught red-handed on that one. But what I'm trying to say is this isn't the first time a professional athlete or a certain owner or a certain just figure in the professional sports world has been, I won't say convicted. He hasn't been convicted, but charged for soliciting a prostitute. And overall, just looking at that, that really puts a damper on Robert Kraft's year because he just got off his team winning a record 6 Super Bowl and being considered one of the greatest ever, greatest ownerships ever, and all that good stuff because of the fact he helped in a way to build this team to what it is now. So this definitely puts a damper on that. So that, and this all just happened. So we're hitting new ground here. But let's move on to the draft, NFL draft. And not Robert Kraft. Stop getting him out of your head. I'm trying to get him out of my head, so just give me a second. Definitely going to need a shower when I get back home. Nice warm shower, not think about this. Anyways, moving on. NFL draft. Dwayne Haskins will be throwing at the combine, which is next week. I'm actually looking forward to that, because he's already touted as the number 2 or number 1 quarterback in the draft at the moment. And so he's definitely doesn't have a lot to prove based on his ability and coming out of Ohio State and all this, but what it sounds to me like he's just trying to move up his stock ahead of Kyler Murray or maybe more, or just maybe it's overall better just to have a just to be at the combine and show your abilities just in the long run. With that, I just say that's probably good for him. But looking at to the combine now, we know Bosa's going to be there. We know Kyler Murray is going to be there. Now we know Dwayne Haskins is going to be there throwing the football. Some of these guys won't do certain things at Lucas Oil Stadium because that's where it always is. But looking at other guys who need to make a point, like running back Josh Jacobs of Alabama, like he could do something special because as a sophomore in 2017 during the spring practices, he ran a 4.5 40, and maybe he can try to beat that John Ross 40 record. Who knows? But obviously, that's maybe not going to be the case. But basically, Nick Bosa being there is just trying to secure his number one overall choice position because of the fact he's coming off an injury, because of the fact he hasn't played a lot recently. So I think he's just there to prove that he still is healthy and he still can play. So that's how I think that's going to go down. I think Joey Bosa is going to be the most intrigued one because of the fact it's a question mark on what his basically what his situation holds and what his how his health holds. So that's going to be interesting to say the least. And as well, there's Kyler Murray, probably just there for the height, just to have his height measured. And maybe not just height measured, maybe prove he has the ability still to or secure a position. I'm not entirely sure how that's all going to go down. But I'm looking forward to seeing the combine because it's always interesting to see how this all is going to go down. Because Nick Bosa is going to try to secure his position, which I'm assuming he will. Dwayne Haskins looks like he's going to be looking good to himself. And so from then on, Kyler Murray really depends on if his height is, let's just say, 5'9", That's going to put a huge damper on his draft prospect. I'm unsure if that's actually going to be the case or not. I still think he'll be drafted highly just because Heisman Trophy winner. Johnny Manziel without the attitude kind of thing. And there's some mock drafts saying he's going down to Miami. Some say he's going to go to the Jaguars. But honestly, I'm not actually sure how this is going to go. But I'm looking forward to seeing the draft itself as well as the combine, seeing these guys do what they do best. Well, not football, but the things around football. So we'll see how that goes. But we're going to take another short break. When we come back, we'll be talking about every team's need in offseason or to-do list in offseason that maybe will help them boost them into a better better record overall from the next season.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA, from the UFC to extreme cage fighting. They got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
On the break, the memes of Robert Kraft, they're gold, ladies and gentlemen. They're gold. There's some good stuff. And more of my apps, like the ESPN app, and like my Bleacher Report app was the first one to tell me. Then like my News Fusion apps and all that stuff. Then ESPN's like the last one to tell me. So that's how that went. Basically, how I want to do this next last segment of the day is what each team needs to do during this offseason, their to-do list, if you will. And we'll do this in kind of an order. First things first, Arizona Cardinals. For me, it's get that offensive line into a better situation than it was because it was a joke of what it was last season. And then the second thing, and just as important, find more weapons and build a team, build the offense around Josh Rosen. Larry Fitzgerald can't do everything on his own. He's at a point where he's basically at the end of his career now. He's still contributing, but you need to land some off-season free agents that can really benefit your offense because he's still a young quarterback. He's not looking too good. He looked probably one of the worst quarterbacks out of the draft class throughout this entire season. He looked probably the worst. So, the thing is, you gotta just help the man. Because he's on a terrible team. He's on the bad, worst team in the NFL, obviously, because he had the number one pick. And just on based off all of that, you just gotta help the man. You gotta help Larry Fitzgerald, because if you have someone else with a threat, Larry Fitzgerald's not gonna be the only one covering, and he can help out more. Only good things can come to those who spend the money for free agencies and help their young quarterback out and not just keep him thrown away, basically. He's under a bus right now. Let's kind of get him out of that bus. Because he got hit by the bus so hard, he's basically stuck to the tires now. And so, right now, that's what I see that the Cardinals desperately need to do. Moving on now, we got the Atlanta Falcons. And, man, it feels like a long time ago, this team was in Super Bowl 51, up 28-3. And now they're kind of on bottom of their division. And it looks like there's going to be a while before they get out of it. That's just how I see it. Just not the best. But first, I need a, they need obviously an offensive line to reshape in and get better, help Matt Ryan out. But they need a pass rusher. They need a pass rusher because they're not good at pressuring the ball. If you watch them play, the quarterback had lots of time against this Falcons defense, this pass defense they had. The defensive line, that is. So they definitely need help pressuring that football and try to force errors to be made in a way where they can get the stuff done. In a way where their defense won't be on the field for 20 to 30 minutes as they usually are. All right, moving on to the Baltimore Ravens. Oh, wait, hold on. Hold on. Robert Kraft denies engaging in any illegal activity following prostitution allegations. Yeah, you were caught in a ring, though. Let's see. He says, this is a statement from the spokesperson for the Patriots. This is his spokesperson that said this. We deny that Mr. Kraft engaged in any illegal activity because it is a judicial matter. We will not be commenting any further. Well, in actual concept of that, of course they're not going to say he actually did it. Unless there's like video evidence of him actually doing it. But as I've seen, there is no hard evidence based off him being in a prostitution sting. The only evidence is that piece of paper with his name on it with the others that are supposedly involved in this prostitution sting. So that's what we can go on. Is it the truth? Who knows? But it seems to me that Robert Kraft is guilty until proven innocent, to the public at least. So that's how I see that going down. All right, moving back to where we were before, because I'm sorry, Robert Kraft is just giving me too much good stuff, you know? As I said that, I felt wrong. But regardless, moving on, we were talking about the Baltimore Ravens. We just finished the Cardinals and Falcons. Now, the most important thing for the Ravens to do this offseason is give weapons to Lamar Jackson, because after trading Joe Flacco, this is officially the guy. This is officially the guy, your quarterback for the foreseeable future. And he could not, for 16 weeks, play 30 rushing attempts a game. He can't do that. He can't afford that, because any one of those rushes could lead to injury, could lead to him out for the season or worse. So why continuously put your quarterback in position to get hurt 25 to 30 times? I get 5 to 10, maybe 15 attempts. But when your quarterback gets 25 or 30 or even 20, that's too much. That's too many. You got to limit that. That means you can't have Michael Crabtree as your number one receiver. You got to find people in the offseason market. Maybe trade for that. Maybe go for Antonio Brown. Who knows what he can do. Obviously, that's not going to happen because you're in the same division as the Steelers. Maybe if Odell Beckham Jr. is on the trade block, try to go for him. But otherwise, you got to find some weapons for Lamar Jackson to feed off of so he doesn't have to feel like he does all the work himself. And you don't have to force him to run the ball all the time. Because honestly, he's a glorified. What I've seen from the Ravens is they basically play the wildcat offense every single play because of the fact Lamar Jackson rarely throws the football, to me at least. Because every time I'm looking at the game, he's running with the ball, and it's a problem because injuries. It's a full contact sport. He's gonna get tackled. Who's your backup? It's not Joe Flacco anymore. So we really don't know who the backup will be for the Baltimore Ravens. So that's an important situation you have to look at as well. Will they go for a backup quarterback that can throw, or will they be looking at wide receivers that can complement Lamar Jackson's running so he doesn't have to rely on it so much, as well as help him get better at passing that football frequently? That's just how I see it. That's what needs to be done more than anything else for the Baltimore Ravens, for sure. As for the Bills, just got to rebuild with Josh Allen as your centerpiece. It's not going to turn around in 1 year. So basically, that's how I see it. Just build that offensive line, build that receiving core, build that running game under Josh Allen. And I say running game because I think it's time to move on from LeSean McCoy, because if you do cut him, you get $6.5 million back. Basically, you gain that in cap space, so that's a huge addition. So that's just how I see that going down, at least, is like you might need to move on from the veteran running back and try just to find new young talent in the draft or find some new pieces when it comes down to free agency. And now going to the Carolina Panthers. Obviously, with the loss of Cam Newton most likely this season, because the rumors are still going around that he's not going to play the next season, the question remains, who's going to be the quarterback for the Carolina Panthers? Is it still going to be him? Is Cam going to tough it out? I hope he doesn't, because I feel like he would damage himself even worse. So how I see this going is, find a backup quarterback. This is a lost season without Cam. Think about next year. Think about high draft picks next year. That's all you can do. That's the best I could think of, at least, for them. As for the Bears, everything looks good, except finding that kicker. I think that's pretty crucial, because with a kicker, he could have gotten to the NFC Championship game. Or just the divisional round. Or even the Super Bowl. All I need to do is just make that kick. Going to the Bengals now, with the two linebackers, Vontaze Burfict look like being a cut candidate, and Preston Brown, a free agent. The Bengals need to up their depth when it comes to the linebacker position, because they're going to live by the sword. They're going to live by the linebackers and die by the linebackers, because you need linebackers to win this league. So that should be their first priority, is to definitely look at linebackers in the offseason. And in the draft, maybe later rounds. And then we move on to the Cleveland Browns. All I say is boost their run defense. Their run defense was 28th against the rush last year. Their passing defense was actually pretty stellar. Like Denzel Ward had a comparison to go to Defensive Rookie of the Year if it wasn't for the leading tackler being a rookie in the league. So, honestly, the pieces are there. There's a run there. AFC North, the division title is in their grasp already. They need to work on that rushing defense, because if they do get to the division, they do win it, they get to the playoffs, that running game is going to tear them apart, and they're not going to get out of the first round or whatever round they start in. As for Denver, drafting trading for Joe Flacco made my head hurt so bad that I can't even think about what they could do. So I'm going to just say defensive line's interior is still pretty bad. Their defense in general, so maybe just boost up their defense a tad. And, of course, their offensive line could be a lot to be desired, because they don't want Joe Flacco's head to be ripped off in the first week. The Detroit Lions, however, they just need to upgrade their corners. They've lost Ezekiel, one of their top players on their team. They need a replacement for him. And that's just the most crucial thing about that. They're still in a rebuilding period. I think it's going to be well before they become into a talented team in the playoff contention, because of the fact they got to stick with Matt Patricia, though, to me. They just have to, because they can't just keep firing coaches after 1, 2, 3, 4 years. They got to keep going. They got to keep this calm and collected. As for the Packers, you need a safety. You traded HaHa Clinton Dix before the deadline. Now you need to do something to fill that hole that you purposely left because of HaHa. As for the Texans, the most crucial thing to me is they get the Honey Badger back. And if they don't get Clowney, they need a replacement for the pass rushing production they had last year. That's just how I see it. As for the Colts, with over $100 million in cap space, I say to you, three simple words: spend all money. Spend all money. Do not waste. Do not waste. Do not waste the opportunity you have with this salary cap you have, the massive salary you have. You got to get some heavy hitters. You got to get someone in there to put you over the hump because you're close. Andrew Luck's playing at the top of his game. Marlon Mack's been playing excellent. Eric Ebron is a whole new level of a tight end. T.Y. Hilton's playing at a high level. They have what it takes. So they just need a few more weapons, and they have plenty of money to prove that. So that's how I see that, how that going for the Indianapolis Colts, who I think are a major contender. As for the Jaguars, there's only one thing I got to say. Tim Coughlin says that Blake Bortles is their guy. I say replace him. You need to find one ASAP. As for the Chiefs, you got to keep D Ford or find a replacement for him. And you got to move Eric Berry and Justin Houston around to reconstruct them because they're not the same players and they can't play that same position they've always been playing. That's just how I see it. And as for the LA Chargers, almost the Clippers or something, the LA Chargers, you got to upgrade your defensive interior. Got to make it better. You got to upgrade your offensive tackles too. Doesn't have to, so Phillip Rivers doesn't have to run for his life every play. And the Rams, the runner-ups, defending NFC champions. If you want to help out Aaron Donald, which you desperately need to, you got to give him an edge rusher. Preferably to be on the opposite side so he can be a lot more freely able to share the tackle and be able to move around. If they do, because they lost Adam Kitsu, he's good as gone. They need more than Aaron Donald to rush the quarterback. Yes, he got 20 sacks this previous season. Imagine a guy on the edge rusher having to watch him not freely looking just at Aaron Donald. There can be more sacks around the team in general than just Aaron Donald. That's what I think needs to be working on the most. Next on the list of teams needed to do some changes this offseason is the Miami Dolphins. Move on from Ryan Tannehill. You're planning on tanking these next two seasons. Your owner has said so. Save salary space. Try again next year. That's all I'm going to say. Minnesota, you have Thielen and Diggs on both sides. You might need to find a third option. And you need help on that offensive line because Kirk Cousins can't just run for his life all the time and make amazing throws. And he can't really make throws sometimes in general. So definitely concerns there. As for the Patriots, with Rob Gronkowski almost as good as gone in retirement, you need to find another tight end as well as a backup quarterback to take the reins when Tom Brady's gone because their backup right now is Brian Hoyer, and he's not their future. No disrespect intended. It's just a fact. He's not going to be their future. As for the Saints, they just need to find, like, just like the Patriots, since they have an old quarterback, they need to find a new one and just have him breed underneath Breeze. That's just how I see it. The Giants, take goodbye to Eli Manning. You got to. You got to get rid of Eli Manning. You got to move on from this guy and start from scratch at the quarterback position. You just got to. Have to. As for the New York Jets, like I said with the Bills and the Cardinals, just build a team around your rookie quarterback. That's the best you can do in that scenario. As for the Raiders, maybe don't look at attitudes anymore. Maybe look at best available player in the position you want. No, not even in the position you want, just best available player overall. And they can do great things. But I think the Raiders aren't going to be good for a long, long more time. It's going to be extended for another decade, maybe. And as for the former champion Eagles, they are so low in cap space that they just need to. They're the one that's the most trouble, in my opinion. But I think just Carson Wentz needs to get back to his MVP form. That's what he has to do. As for the Steelers, you need to solve that wideout problem, and you need to just get over this whole. This last season has been all drama. Just get over this drama and move on. And get to the next level. For the 49ers, they need another edge rusher to complement DeForest Buckner, just like the Rams have. And they need one of these star players on offense. They need an Odell Beckham Jr. They need an Antonio Brown. They need to go and sign with this team because we have a very talented quarterback right there in Jimmy Garoppolo. They could pull it off. They could pull off some upsets. They can pull off a run. As for the Seahawks, I think they just need help at the guard position. Just pretty weak there, to be all honest with you. As for the Buccaneers, they don't really have a safety or good at their defense in any way, shape, or form. So just try to work on their defense this offseason by draft or by free agency. As for the Titans, Corey Davis cannot be your number one receiver. He's inconsistent. You got to find a consistent wide receiver that can help you regardless of when the time is and when the time is right. For the Redskins, you need a final replacement for Alex Smith. You were trying to supposedly go for Joe Flacco, but he's now with the Broncos. So now you're kind of stuck here in this purgatory kind of sense. So you guys need to figure out what you need to do to really get you back into that NFC East conversation. But that is all we have time for today. Thank you so much for joining us. Please tune us in Monday as we continue on with the footballness. That is the goodness of free agency as we're getting closer to when free agents can sign and all the good stuff that can happen. But as always, I'm Jeff Malinoff, and I'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.